Miles Sanders, because this is a guy that certainly stood out to me, RB9, so a top 10 running back. And in NFFC drafts here this month, in July, he is getting drafted on average as RB18, the 37th pick. So the best thing about this, Nate, is you have him as a top 9 running back. You don't have to draft him as a guy going as a top 10. You could wait to the third round if you wanted to. He could be your RB2. You feel like he can be an RB1 for you. Last year, 164 attempts, 867 rushing yards, 5.3 yards per pop, 6 TDs, 52 targets, 28 catches, 197 receiving yards, 7.0 yards per catch, and a 53.8 catch percentage. That's one concern I have, but sell me on Miles Sanders. Why do you like him as much as you do?
All right, so the funny thing about Miles Sanders, I was actually down on him last preseason. I had him ranked as my RB16, and I was, you know, I was getting destroyed for that.
Turned out to be a good ranking.
A huge reason for that was Doug Peterson, you know, and I'm not hanging my hat on one thing, but I know Doug Peterson's past. He's a grim reaper to the running back position for fantasy purposes. So now we're away from that. He's rid himself of Doug Peterson. We've got a new regime in, you know, Philadelphia. And I know it's a small sample size, but with the 3 games under Jalen Hurts, he totaled 236 rush yards. He had 13 targets, 74 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. You know, I'm not about extrapolation, but if you want to do that, we call it a 16-game season. I know it's up to 17, but, you know, for fantasy purposes, that's over 1,200 yards, about 70 targets, close to 400 receiving yards, and 16 touchdowns. Can he maintain that? I'm not sure, but, you know, you mentioned with the Philadelphia Eagles offense, Miles Sanders is honestly the only piece for fantasy that I like in that offense for this season. I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts being the answer there in Philadelphia. I'm not sure if that hurts your feelings there, Chris.
No, no, no.
But I think that he's got a lot more to prove. I understand his safe floor with the rushing ability, but for me, I think Miles Sanders should be the key focus in this offense in 2021, and that's what I'm anticipating.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts either. I think he could be a decent fantasy quarterback, but I also think he's going kind of early. Like, I'm not completely in on him. I think he comes with a solid rushing floor. And we all joked here before this segment that there was a report in Philadelphia that Hurts' first pass was a touchdown pass to Miles Sanders in training camp. Now, it's just training camp, whatever. But the biggest thing I saw from Sanders last year, so he finishes RB13 in a full point setting among backs with 12 games. That's points per game, RB13. Mm-hmm. So your ranking, I think, was actually, you know, spot on overall from like just a season end. I mean, he finished last year's RB23. That's in a full point setting. Mm-hmm. So you are right to be down on him. He did suffer some injuries at the start of the season, and you're spot on about Doug Peterson, and he just makes you shake his head. The year that they won the Super Bowl, it was a lot of backs, right? It was Corey Clement, it was Ajayi, it was Blunt. All of them were getting touches, and now you got a rushing quarterback here in Jalen Hurts who could maybe call his own number inside the red zone, but also open up holes for Miles Sanders like we saw. I mean, 5.3 yards per carry was among the top running backs in the league. It's a top 5 mark among running backs, so that's very, very solid. You just want to see him get some more touches. Like, he didn't have a lot of touches. Didn't have a lot of games with 20 plus carries. Now, if Nick Sirianni is going to do that or not, I think he will. I think he's the most talented back on the team. When Josh Kelce came in here last week, he was just concerned that Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott were going to eat into some of the catches. And it's just all I want to talk to you really about is my concerns with him are the catches. Like, you see the 52 targets and you see the 28 grabs, and then you see the catch rate, which is brutal. He had a lot of drops, but and then you see the report that the first play he's tossing over to Sanders, and it's like, okay, fine. But he can catch the ball. Man, a couple years ago, he was amazing in the passing game. He was catching balls left, right, and center from Carson Wentz, and then he just had those drops, and then they draft Gainwell, and then they have Boston Scott still on the roster. Like, what do you think? Is this guy going to be completely phased out from the passing attack, or is he a guy that can catch 30-plus balls?
I mean, I believe that he's going to be part of the passing attack. You know, it's – it's one of those things, like, you know, of course you want to name all the other running backs on the roster, but every team needs running back depth, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kenneth Gainwell, as much as people love this guy, I think that there's a chance he eats into some of the pass catching work, but you know, he is a rookie. You know, let's give Miles Sanders a chance. Sure. We're so quick in fantasy football to just move on to the next shiny toy and forget why everyone was so high on player X to begin with. I'm not forgetting about Miles Sanders. It was never about talent with him. I think right now what's happening is there's just an overcorrection that's going on with players like that were so hyped up last year, but didn't pan out the way everyone wanted to. So all of a sudden they're trash. No, I try to differentiate and change it up a little bit and say, hey, look, there were valid reasons why everyone was on Miles Sanders. I'm sticking with those now that he's in a new situation. Let's see it happen now. And I think that's what's going to happen in 2021 for Sanders.
I think in that range, Nate, to your point, you have him as a top 10 back, but in that range, like Montgomery, Sanders, Carson, Josh Jacobs, like I'm not into Jacobs, but in that range, like I think you're doing okay if you leave your draft with Miles Sanders, and especially as your RB2 upside to be an RB1. Sticking with the Eagles before we break and talk about the Jacksonville backfield, I don't think you have to go into too much detail about this, but I believe maybe your ranking of Dallas Goedert, tight end 14, has a lot to do with Jalen Hurts, or does it have anything to do with Zach Ertz still being on the roster and looking today? He's looking like Eminem on the field.
He's got blonde hair. Yeah.
Chicka, chicka. Goedert, is it mostly Hurts?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think this team is young and there's some encouragement going forward. I'm not sure it's all going to fall in place for 2021, which is why I'm so high on Miles Sanders, because I just think that he's one of the few, if not the, I don't want to say only, but I think he is one of the only reliable options to be successful in that offense. And I think everyone else, especially from the, you know, from the pass catching side of things, I think is not going to perform as well as what everyone's hoping. So that's why I'm a little bit lower on Goddard than most.
I tell you what, the one guy that I really want in this offense is Devonta Smith. I'm worried about him from a long-term role. Is he too small? I know he's a rookie, but I think just the path to targets this year, I think he's going to have more than Ja'Marr Chase. And I think Ja'Marr Chase is a better talent than him, but I think Smith is on his way to 100 plus targets and going as, you know, mid wide receiver 30s. I think he's very intriguing. We'll break. We'll talk about the Jacksonville backfield. Also, I see a lot of stars in your background at the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb, I like this guy a lot. I think the sky is the limit for him, and I'll get your thoughts on what you think about him, as well as the rest of the Dallas Cowboys. So don't go anywhere. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Nate Hamilton here with you on Game Plus Network. Thanks for taking the time to hang out here on Mean Streets. Let's continue the running back conversation. So looking at your rankings over at the Game Day NFL, you have James Robinson, RB24, and Travis Etienne, RB28. In NFFC High Stakes Leagues, Nate, here in July, it's kind of just slightly the opposite. RB21, ADP 47 for ETN, and RB26, 64 for James Robinson. So a little bit of a drop off in terms of ADP, but right there with each other in terms of running back rankings. I'll let you go first on this backfield. And even if you want a piece of them, just because you have Robinson ranked ahead of ETN, that may not mean that you want one of those guys. Like, how do you see this backfield playing out in Jacksonville?
So, you know, typically I'm not about a rookie running back coming in just automatically replacing, especially such a productive player like James Robinson was last year. He did unbelievable. He proved that he can do, you know, handle the whole workload. Mm-hmm. Except, you know, I can't ignore the fact that they spent the 25th overall pick on ATN, and it's Trevor Lawrence's,
buddy.
So, I mean, There's no chance that ATN sits on the sideline too much this season, especially if it's all about getting your starting quarterback comfortable. So that's why I dropped James Robinson down. If it were a different running back, even with equal talent, I think I would be higher on James Robinson this year. But I think that's truly the main reason. It's, you know, not just that it's, you know, a first round running back. It's a first round teammate of the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Robinson did so much to your point last year, like 1,000 rushing yards, and just really did handle the full workload. And you wonder if towards the end of the season, if it was just too much for him, he suffered the injury and Jacksonville was already out of it. So maybe just giving him a little bit of a break. But 4.5 yards per carry is very solid. Double digit touchdowns, 49 receptions, also very solid too. So acted as a true, you know, bell cow back with just shy of, you know, 1500 yards. So pretty solid overall campaign. I wonder how this is going to play out too. I think I'm just fading the entire backfield. I want to shoot for the upside in ETN, and I don't fully believe Urban Meyer that he's not, you know, going to run between the tackles and just line out wide as a wide receiver or play a little bit of slot. Now I do believe he'll do a little bit of that and catch some balls, but yeah, ETN with Lawrence and the connection in Clemson, and then Urban Meyer talking up Carlos Hyde. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's
right. There's a lot going on there. It's a new coach, and it's, you said earlier with talking about the Eagles, and there's something I took away from it. It's so important to have depth. You're not seeing across the league a lot of true bell cow backs. You see depth. Look at Tampa last year with Lenny and with Jones. I mentioned the Eagles a couple years ago with the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of teams who have just had a nice, solid 1-2 punch. Cleveland comes to mind as a dominant 1-2 punch here. So even if ETN is not getting a ton of, you know, carries between the tackles and Robinson getting maybe 8 to 12 carries a game, I think there's still value for ETN. But I don't know. I think I'm just going to fade this entire backfield.
Yeah,
I don't know
that's
if I
fair.
Want a piece of that.
Well, I think the truth is we've seen successful 1-2 punch backfields in the NFL. You just mentioned Cleveland. That's probably the best, in my opinion, between, you know, Chubb and
Hunt.
Hunt. But for me, I think really James Robinson and Travis Etienne, considering where they're going, I think can still return your investment. You know, considering it's they've got a rookie quarterback. So, and Jacksonville typically likes to run the ball a ton. So I think there's still value to be had with both of them, considering where you're drafting them, and it's, you're not paying top price. So there's less risk there.
Let's switch gears to wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb you have as wide receiver 10, and this is roughly where he's going in high stakes leagues this year. Wide receiver 11 on average here in drafts over at NFFC in this month of July, just a couple days here left. He's really just starting to climb draft boards. About 6 weeks ago, he was roughly wide receiver 14, 15. I saw most people had Amari Cooper ranked ahead of CeeDee Lamb. It is now Lamb. I really, really like this guy, man. I'm super jelly that he is a member of the Dallas Cowboys. He was so close to being an Eagle. I can't believe that he fell as far as he did, to be honest. He was my favorite wide receiver in the class last season. Henry Ruggs was the first wide receiver taken off the board. I'm not ready to close the book on Ruggs. I think he's in a brutal situation. Sorry, Chad Midgley. I think he's in a brutal situation for fantasy, just not getting the volume and not getting the targets. Lamb is in a really good situation in Dallas where the defense has improved a little bit, as you know, Nate, but still likely some holes. And yeah. Dak Prescott was just setting the world on fire before he got hurt last season. So CeeDee Lamb, and when I talked to some of my buddies in chats and in leagues, they can't get over CeeDee Lamb going as early as he's going. They don't think he's the best wide receiver on the team. They see the value in Michael Gallup, who's the big play guy there, but I don't think as talented as Lamb. And they think that Amari Cooper is a little bit more consistent, which, I don't know, last year I think a little bit more so than years prior. But
yeah,
tell us on CeeDee Lamb and why you think that he should, you know, be taken as a top 10, top 11 wideout.
Well, first of all, you mentioned that there's going to be some holes in that defense, which actually helps out offensive fantasy assets, especially in the passing game. So right there, CeeDee Lamb had over 100 targets last year. And as productive as he was, you know, he was catching passes from Andy Dalton. So let's get real. In his rookie season. So to kind of compare CeeDee Lamb to somebody, not in the talent range, but where they fell last year, Mike Evans was the wide receiver 10 last year. CeeDee Lamb had 4 more receptions than Evans and only 71 fewer receiving yards. The biggest difference, Mike Evans had 13 touchdowns. Lamb had just 6. So for me, I am fully expecting CeeDee Lamb to take over as a wide receiver 1 in Dallas. And you brought up the word consistent with your friends. I think with Amari Cooper, that's probably one of the last words I would think, because he, even when healthy, tends to disappear in games, you know, and have 1 to 2 targets and maybe puts up a goose egg. So I think, you know, with Dak Prescott sitting on the sidelines for the entire season and watching Andy Dalton make CeeDee Lamb, like, I'm sorry, make CeeDee Lamb make Andy Dalton look good. Right. I think that Dak is going to want to target CeeDee Lamb possibly more than Amari Cooper. But even if it's close in a target range between the two, I still think production wise, CeeDee Lamb's just going to exceed everywhere.
Again, I'm a sucker. I agree with your ranking. I like this guy quite a bit. I think he reminds me a lot of DeAndre Hopkins. I think that, the sky's the limit for him. Last year, wide receiver 24, only 5 games with Dak, and 18% target share, 22% of the team's air yards, free air yards, stool over at FTNDaily.com. But Lamb accounted for 24% of Dak's air yards in those 5 games. So there's no question when Dak left the offense, everybody inside the offense really kind of took a hit. Especially Zeke. We don't have enough time to get into Zeke and the rest of the Cowboys, Nate. I really appreciate you taking the time here. Not that I don't want to, but yeah, the Cowboys, you know, we'll see. We'll get you on again. We'll talk Cowboys and we'll see how it plays out for Dallas. But I encourage everybody to check out Nate on Twitter, DominateFF, and also the Game Day NFL. Check out Nate's rankings over there. He also has Russell Gage, wide receiver 23, which I think is solid. Very, very bold from you, sir. And Anthony Firkser, tight end 12, who actually, Tino knows, a lot of people have talked up Firkser quite a bit on this show. So I think you're on the same page from a lot of sharp minds as well. Nate, appreciate the time, man. Good luck with some of your drafts, and we'll catch up again with you soon, man.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks, man.